1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 6. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. Let's read that again. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. So that ye were ensamples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for tonight. Lord, thank You for these that are in, that were in Thessalonica, and God, that lived in such a way that their faith was recognized by others. That God, they were an example to other believers. Lord, I pray as we study this passage tonight that we would reflect upon our life and determine what kind of example we are. Lord, help us to be followers of You. Lord, help us to lead other people to You. Lord, I love You tonight. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I was listening to I was actually listening to sports talk one day, and this guy's going on, and you know, they talk about sports, and I enjoy sports. I don't know a lot about all of them. I have some favorites or whatever. And this guy was talking, and he was talking about some of the characters of players and just how messed up they are. And he said this statement, and it just kind of stuck with me. He says, you could be one of two people. You could either be a good example or a poor warning. And I thought about that, and I was thinking about it. He went on to describe it a little bit, and I know it's not Bible, but it is truth. Concerning spiritual matters, I can either be an example of what it means to follow the Lord, or such a bad warning of the absence of God in my life that someone just does not want to have anything close to their life resemble my life. My life could either be a warning, don't do this, or on the positive side, it could be, hey, there's blessings this way, follow me. So the question is, what are we going to be tonight? Either way, we're going to be made a spectacle. Say, I don't want that. I didn't sign up for that. Yeah, but when you are around people, people watch what you do, and they watch what happens to you. Good example or a poor warning? Say, God doesn't use poor warnings. Remember Sodom and Gomorrah? Say, that was awful. Yeah, that's what God said. He said it would be a warning to all others. And look at Jude, the book of Jude. Jude 1:7 says this, Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh and set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Sure, they were an example. A very poor warning. Don't do what Sodom and Gomorrah did. Right? Don't do it. Why not? Because God took vengeance upon them with eternal fire, it says. Look at 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 6. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 6. And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemn them with an overthrow, making them, what? An ensample unto those that after should live ungodly. Sodom and Gomorrah was a poor warning. I don't want to be a poor warning. I want my life to be an example of what is right and good and true. A living example of what is good. Let's go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. I think God would be pleased with... I don't think likes consuming cities with fire from heaven because of sin. He'd be more pleased if we followed Him. If we look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 7, so that ye were ensamples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. What's the difference between ensample and example? Nothing. The words are synonymous. If you look up the word ensample, it uses the word example in definition. Do we change the word? No, but that's what it means. So that ye were ensamples. The people of Thessalonica were an ensample or an example to all those that were around what it is to have the word of the Lord with joy. Man, what a great testimony. What a great testimony to have that your life reflected the joy of God. Not that it was without trouble, but it was just right and good. We begin our service tonight with the thought of being a living example. The first step is to be a follower of Christ. If we look back at verse 6, it says, be followers of us and of the Lord. It's very important that we follow the Lord. The leading of God, the teachings of God, the direction of God in our life. If we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we know these verses. And it says, be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Hey, if I want to be a good example to the group behind me, know what I need to do? I need to be led by God. I need to be led by Jesus Christ Himself. If we look at 1 Peter chapter 2. So you're looking at a lot of verses quick. I just got to Corinthians. I'm sorry. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow His steps. Hey, if I want to be an example to those, a godly example, a right example, an example of what is good and true, a living example of Christianity, know what I need to do personally? I need to follow Christ. Before I even try and figure out how all the details about life, my first step is always towards Christ. Some years ago, the boys were learning baseball. Now, my older boys are good. They're better at learning than they've improved, is what I'm saying. But I remember some of those first years, they'd be standing there, and their first step, as the ball came in, was backwards. Why? Because they're afraid. Ball's coming in. First step, out of the box. What we had to ingrain in their head. First step towards the ball. First step towards the pitcher. Hey, Christian, first step towards God. First step, follow Christ. Yeah, but I want to lead. I want to be in charge. First step towards Christ. I want followers. I want to be an example. Be an example by following Christ. That is the most important example that we could be. Hey, it's important to be wise with your finances. It's important to be a good mother and a good father and all of those things. It's important to be faithful to things. It's important to handle yourself wisely, having discretion, being wise with your words. But do you understand the most important example that we could ever show anybody else is to follow Christ? Because honestly, you don't need what I got. You need what He has. And if I'm going to help anybody, if we're going to be a help to anybody, if we're going to be an example to anybody, the best example we could be is to follow Jesus Christ. Our lives ought to exemplify the blessing of living for the Lord, serving a living and true God. We ought to be followers of Christ. With that being said, the first step is towards Christ. As an example, 1 Timothy chapter 4. I'm thankful for our young people. I love the youth choir and those that try and sneak in on the youth choir. I like it. I like the songs. I like seeing young people sing for the Lord. If you know anybody that has any dealings on a regular basis with maybe government education, just the world, there would be a across-the-board agreement, it's a mess. It's a mess. Sure, there's little lights here and there, but as a collective whole, the world's a mess. And sometimes we lump our young people in that same mess. We say, oh, you're a teenager, you're wicked. You can't do anything for the Lord, you're just a mess. Understand that teenagers, what makes the teenagers difficult? Everything. And that's for the parents. No, what makes the teenage years difficult for a young person is everything in their life is transition. Nothing's stable. Their mind is changing, their body is changing, their spirit is changing, their academics are changing, their desires are changing. All of that is in flux. It's all changing all at once. And they're trying to make sense of it all. Am I a child or am I an adult? Well, I look like a child, but I want to be treated like an adult. And they don't have understanding of things. And I understand that. And those are difficult years. Man, if you can get through your teenage years without the big mistakes, praise the Lord, you're good for it. But sometimes as adults, we approach our young people of, hey, you just sit off to the side and I'll do it. And the Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12, let no man despise thy youth. But what does it say? But be thou an example of the believers. Hey, young person, you have an obligation and a responsibility, not just that your parents live an example of living a life for the Lord, but you have an obligation. It says, be an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. You have a responsibility. As adults, we need to be careful not to discredit our youth. The Bible warns us to not do that, but that they would be an example of what it means to be a believer. Hey, there's some young people that are enthused about the things of God, and you would do well to spend some time around them. In Titus chapter 2 and verse 15, Titus 2, 15. Titus 2:15 says, these things speak and exhort and rebuke all authority. Let no man despise thee. Hey, don't let anyone talk down about it. Serve the Lord with gladness. Don't be disrespectful, but serve the Lord. Serve the Lord. Say, do you have an example of that? You remember Joshua? You know the people that Joshua took into the promised land? Oldest person was 20. Yeah, Caleb, and then, right, no, you're right, brother. Joshua and Caleb, and then everybody else was the oldest, 20. Between the ages of 20 and 1. Right? All young people. God used all young people to go into the promised land. In Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 6, let's read Jeremiah 1:6. God uses young people is what I'm saying. Jeremiah 1:6 says this. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. Jeremiah is trying to back out of it. God says, I want to use you, Jeremiah. He says, I can't, I'm just a kid. But the Lord said unto him, say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee. And whatsoever command thee, thou shalt speak. He warns them. He says, do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Hey, young person, don't be afraid to serve the Lord. Here, God used Jeremiah, a young man. We don't know his age. We just know he was a young man. His excuse was, I couldn't. I'm a child. And God says, I'll use a child. Remember, Samuel was a rebuke to Eli as a child. Joshua brings a whole generation in. Jeremiah is used by George Whitefield began preaching at 21. By the time he was 25, he was preaching to people of 30,000 people at a time. In 1796, 26 Yale students founded an organization on campus called the Moral Society, which discouraged profanity, immorality, and drinking. By 1800, that's 4 years later, at Yale, nearly one half of the college students were members of this group and is credited with laying the foundation for four revivals that occurred later on that campus in the first few decades of the 19th century. Because 26 students got together and said, we're going to do right. C.T. Studd, being a convert of D.L. Moody's ministry at Cambridge University in England, Studd was the toast of the nation, captain of the their champion cricket team, top sportsman, and inheritor of a small fortune. But he also became part of the Cambridge Seven. This group consisted of Moody's helpers, or his converts, who toured university and challenged students for missions. They were called the Holy Madmen and launched out to redeem another generation of spiritual warriors. These were college students. One of the greatest missionary revivals of the century had its beginning in 1886 at Mount Hermon Conference of College Students. 251 students from 89 colleges of the United States and Canada had come together at the invitation of one person, D.L. Moody. He invited 251 students to a four-week Bible study. And it ended in what became a great missionary movement as university students gave their life to be foreign missionaries. I'm just here to tell you, God uses young people. And if you're waiting to get older, well, I'll serve God when I'm older, you're going to miss opportunities that God has for you today. Hey, young person, be an example. Be a living example that there is a true and living God sitting on His throne, ruling and reigning, and the words of that Bible are true. Be an example of that. Don't be a poor warning. Don't be the name that the parent brings up and says, I don't want you to turn out like that. Philippians chapter 3. First step is towards Christ. Secondly, the youth can be involved. Thirdly, Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 15. Let us therefore as many as be perfect be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an ensample. Let's read verses 18 and 19. For many walk of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. You know what that is? It's the poor warning. Hey, there were some that walked with us, but now are the enemies of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. There was a group. There was a group in verse 17 that were followers of Christ. And what brought about this followers of Christ? If we read verses 15 and 16 again, what there was there was a like thinking as of followers of Christ. Not that everyone thinks the same, but there was like thinking. How is that possible? Because our thinking is based out of the same book or information. One of the greatest troubles that a church will have is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Go there, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Say, it's finances, isn't it? No, it's not. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." Hey, the thing that destroys more churches than anything else, you say, is it finances? Is it sin? No, it's divisions. Well, I don't like how you're doing it. I don't like this. I don't like that. I wanted this. I want it to be like that. Hey, be of the same mind, it says. We're told in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 15 through 19 that they were an example through their unity. They were an example to other churches. They were an example to one another in their unity. Say, oh, you just want us all to think the same way. That's what God wants. He wants you to think the way He thinks. Hey, I don't care who you like for baseball. That doesn't matter. I don't care if you wear brown pants and black shoes or brown pants or whatever. I'm just glad you got pants on. That I do care about. Those are preferences. I don't care if you drive a GM vehicle or a foreign vehicle. That doesn't matter. But what does matter are the things of God. What God says about things. And that's where we're of like mind. That's where we become unified. Fun playground game is tug of war. Take half the group and line them up on one side. Take the other half and line them up on the other. And we put a rope in the middle. Hope the rope can withstand the tension. We put a flag in there and we put two marks. And one group pulls and the other group pulls. And they're fighting against each other. It's fun on the playground. It's not fun in church. No, it'd be a lot better. It'd be a lot more advantageous for one another to get behind one another and encourage and promote one another. Hey, may we be an example. May we as Christians be an example of unity. Unity. There's a big problem. God identifies the big problem, and it's a division. Say, what happens if I disagree with somebody? Do I just tuck tail and run? No, you act like a man. You call up your buddy and say, hey, can we talk about something? I don't understand. And you go in with a meek and quiet spirit. And you handle it the right time, the right place, and with the right spirit. And you can discuss anything. And you might come out going, hey, we agree to disagree, but this isn't break fellowship over, and I'm not going to lose a friend over that. Or we help somebody in a more perfect way. Or we get somebody out, one other person involved in it. But we handle it. We don't write it all over Facebook saying how wicked this person is because they disagree with you. That's divisions. That's not helping anybody. That's not helping the church. And God warns us against it. That you speak the same thing. And that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together. Ever work on a wood project or some sort of a project where you need two pieces to fit together? Brother Seatman, you're doing cabinets, is that right? Making some cuts over that? I don't know. Probably not. You're probably just screwing stuff in. We get those dovetail things that come together. Do you make dovetail joints ever? Rick, do you? Rick, all right. So there you are. You make all your cuts, and then all of a sudden, whew, and it fits together. Yeah. You call somebody over to show them. Look at this. This is amazing. Made these cuts. You measure 6,000 times, and there, and now you finally make, and it fit for, and you're like, oh, this is glorious. Hey, so it is in the church when we perfectly fit together. I understand we're individuals and we all have personalities. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying, biblically, doctrinally speaking, our school is close enrollment. You know what that means? You attend a church of like faith and practice. Because we teach some things here at our school. And it'd be very confusing and dividing if our school and our church teaches something that someone else's church doesn't teach and they learn something different at home. I don't want to do that. I've told some very nice people, I'm sorry, you can't send your kids here. Why not? We're all going to be in heaven. And I believe that. But your little person's going to have a hard time figuring that out. Divisions. May we be an example of unity. The thoughts of God, not the thoughts of men. Let's make sure we clarify, everyone. Amen. Thoughts of God. Lastly, Titus chapter 2. So we should get pizza every week. This is great. The sun is out and you just said lastly. Titus chapter 2. In verse Titus 2:7. In all things showing thyself a pattern of good works. May we be an example of what is good. In all things showing thyself a pattern of good works. In doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned. That he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. You know, when you speak the truth and someone calls you out for speaking the truth, they don't have a leg to stand on, do they? That's what it says. But may we not only be an example, young people, may you not only be an example to those that are around you. May we not only have the example of unity amongst us, but lastly, the example of good works. What does that mean? That we do things that honor and glorify God and show somebody else along the way. And our sharing of the gospel. This past week on Saturday, we had a cleaning day here. So our teenagers are cleaning, but we did some door hangers. And in my group was me, Sophie, Hudson, and Abby. And we did door hangers. And this is our fourth or fifth week of hanging hangers on people's doors and living in Hamlin, inviting them to church. And they're getting good at it. They can identify front door, side door. Hey, it looks like, side door right there. It doesn't look like they used the front door. Yep, good. What is that? They learned something. Normally, when we get to a house and they have two giant dogs barking in the front yard, it's like, oh, I don't want to go. My daughter, Abby, loves dogs. She's like, can I get this one? And the dog's like, rah, 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 rah. And, you know, I'm like, sure, go ahead, sweetheart. Yeah. But maybe we be an example of giving the gospel, a verbal testimony. What does that show? That shows that we care for others, that we're not so self-consumed with ourselves, that someone else actually has a soul. That's important. That all of life does not revolve around us. That we stop and consider someone else's eternal destiny. We vocalize that. And by being having a pattern of good works and sharing the gospel, that's an example to those that we're around. Not only a verbal testimony, but a living testimony, daily living. The Bible warns us against being a stumbling block. What does that mean? That we do something that would cause another brother to waver in their faith. We don't want to do that. Say, I can. Sure you can. You have liberty, but you think that's a good idea? We'll send Ava running across here, full bore, and I'll have you stick out your foot. Sure you can. But you'll trip her up. Chances are really good she's going to get hurt. Why do that? Why have save your liberty. It's not worth it, is it? It's not worth it if someone else gets hurt. A stumbling block. Those are words that people throw around and feel like they could just... Not according to the Scriptures, it's not. It's not right. The Bible warns us in Romans chapter 14 that we will give an account of ourselves unto God. Don't be a stumbling block. I'm not saying that you don't come out of your house because, oh, I was at Wegmans. Does someone think I'm buying alcohol? Well, don't put alcohol in your cart and no one will think that, right? Don't ask for Marlboros at the counter. You don't have to do that. No one will worry about that. No, you don't. You can live, but be wise with what you're doing. Be considerate in your living. Don't be a stumbling block. Be a verbal testimony, a living testimony. How about being an example of giving? Of your time. Of your abilities. Of your finances. Are you an example of what it... If someone pulled your checking account statement, would there be proof that you are in on the things of God? If someone followed you around for a week and watched what you did and where you went, would your time be spent on the things of God? With the abilities that God has given you, do you use them for the honor and glory of the Lord? Are you an example of those things? Are we a living example of what we say? We wear the t-shirts that we're Christians, but does our life mimic it? Giving. Are you teaching your kids the importance of tithing and missions giving? Are you teaching your children the blessing it is to help a brother or sister out that's in tough times? Are you teaching your children to give of their time, not expecting anything in return just because it's right? Are you teaching your children to use the talents and gifts that God has given them for His honor and glory? See, we go over these things, we sit down at the table. Hey, do you understand the way that you could best teach them is by showing them? I'm all about having discussions. I like discussions. Let's talk about it. But do you understand that actions speak much louder than words? Are you an example of the gospel? Living, verbal. Are you an example of giving? Are you an example of godliness? Holy living. Remember, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. My body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. And do I live in a way that God would be pleased with? Do I live a holy life? 1 Peter chapter 1, and we'll be done. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 15. First Peter 1:15 says this, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Last time I looked at this verse, I thought of this. I thought, you know the difficulty in asking your children to live godly when you don't live godly? That's tough, right? So if that's the case, we just don't. But God is asking us to live holy. And He's holy. We can't point back our finger and say, yeah, but you... You are. And you can ask that of me, can't you? Holy living. May we be an example of godliness. Good works. A pattern of good works. Let's go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. In verse 6, it says, "And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia." Are you an example? Are you a good example or a poor warning? Let's all stand. Maybe, Lord, touch your heart about something tonight. Maybe our young people. Maybe you felt a barrier or a wall and said, I don't feel like I could. I don't feel like I'm not allowed to. Hey, I want to tell you, you're allowed to. It's good for you to serve the Lord. There's been young people in this life that have changed their influence around, have done remarkable things for the Lord as a young person. Don't let anybody despise thy youth. But be careful to be an example. As our first step towards Christ, are our young people following the Lord? Is there unity? Are we a pattern of good works? In a moment, the music's going to play whatever maybe the Lord has touched your heart about. Maybe you'd like to come forward and pray a little bit. Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. Thank you for your word. God, may we rally around it, behind it. May it give us power in our hearts. Lord, help us. Lord, help us to be living examples of what it means to serve a living and true God. Lord, bless the time of invitation now in Jesus' name. Amen. As the music plays, would you consider the message here tonight?